caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me is always the ever lovely and charming. We've got like a blue thing going here with you.
Blue?
Yeah, last several shows.
That's because I have a lot of blue.
I
have a lot of blue and a lot of black.
She's black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
let's not go on.
The amazing Philip James Unger. Engineering the show is always the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can send to us at askask@markgunger.com. In that mix also, questions about money that you might be dealing with, and we encourage people to take our relational quiz online at flagpage.com. And if you have questions about your flag page, like this couple today, you can send us questions about that as well. What do you got there, sunshine? I presume we're still on our eternal.
We are. But before I go back to the best marriage advice ever, I'm quite impressed that you actually have paid attention to know that I've worn blue for more than one time.
Diane,
to
you
actually
are,
notice.
You're so amazing.
I'm impressed.
We all notice you.
Right.
Because everything about you is constantly.
Right.
Maybe he just thinks he looks the same every time he sees you.
Like she didn't change your clothes. Okay. Back to the best marriage advice ever.
Yes.
The next one says, never talk badly about your spouse to other people or vent about them online. Protect your spouse at all times and in all places.
Yes. But, you know, it's actually worse than that. Couples who actually criticize each other in front of other people, in public.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's the worst.
That's really
bad. Know? And, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes not to do that because you're just arguing about something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to basically say, they don't know what they're talking about. You got to be careful because I've heard that there's people who do that.
I've never been witness to anybody. Never.
I've heard they don't like it. So, yeah. So you just got to watch that. I mean, that's something that nobody would like. So.
But then there's people that take this to the opposite extreme, that they will never talk to anybody about their stuff because you should not talk about your spouse. Or, you know what I'm talking about? And that's on the island thing. So it seems like people are...
And then they got their own problem.
One
that
extreme
problems,
or the other.
Because they can never...
That they can't figure out the healthy way
to do it. In the safety of your
it.
Friends and stuff like that, yes. And you're really dealing with issues. Not about knocking somebody down.
Yes.
And even if it's just you and your friend, if you're just ragging on your husband or your wife and you're just pointing out, now that's inappropriate. But if you're coming and saying, listen, we're really struggling.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. People struggle with. They think that if you say anything negative, you shouldn't do that. That it's like our problems are our problems. Never say anything. Yeah, and that's not good either.
Yeah, those are the people who shock everyone when they get divorced.
Yes, because people can't figure it out.
I didn't know they're having problems.
Yeah. Because they refuse to talk about it. Okay, the next one. Always wear your wedding ring. It will remind you that you're always connected to your spouse, and it will remind the rest of the world that you are off limits.
Do a lot of people take off their wedding rings?
I know some people who do and have. I don't think it's very common. And I don't think that wearing a wedding ring really matters when it says you're off limits. So there are some people that ring don't mean a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean a lot of anymore, like it used to.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm all fine with that. I never take off my ring.
That's because you can't.
Because I can't.
It's welded onto your finger.
Because I'm so fat that it won't come off. And actually, I had it resized once already.
Mm-hmm. So you're showing...
I was 118 pounds when I got married.
Whoops.
I'm a few more than that now.
Whoops.
And the Like, I cannot get it off. In fact, I was thinking I should probably get it. I presume they cut it off or something like that and resize it and put it back on again. But
That's how you show you care. That's why you gain the weight.
That's it's your to prove protective your commitment device. To your
love. So I can't take off
that's
my ring.
That's a big commitment right there. You're so committed.
That's why I eat too much. I'm too show my commitment to my wife, so I can't take off my ring.
That's
praise
so funny.
God. Now we got a logical explanation.
That's it. That has to be it. Next one. Connect into your community.
Hey, Timmy, this monitor keeps going on and off. Is the signal doing that?
Your big one?
Yeah, this one keeps just clicking on and off.
It's just your screen?
Maybe he just keeps cutting to black. It's this new thing he's trying.
It's the new creative
thing.
He
doesn't want to see you.
Okay. Black. Black. Okay.
Okay, the next one. Connect into your community of faith. A good church can make a world of difference in your marriage and family.
Oh, no question about that, which is also this whole idea of getting off the island. All right, that's enough. That's we'll finish up the final three
next time
in our next show. So.
And then we're finally off of it. But it was good.
They're all good things, actually.
I thought it was actually cool.
I haven't, there's none of these that have really been problematic.
No.
So this guy actually wrote this article about the best marriage advice ever. Generally speaking, he kind of nails it. I don't know who this guy is. Do you know who he is?
I follow him on Facebook, Dave Willis. Him Dave and his Willis. Wife have a marriage thing, so I see a lot of their content.
So, like, you follow him like a stalker?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm a stalker.
She flies drones outside his window.
She flies drones.
Now, you I stalk because I look at absolutely everything. Part of my job is stalking. I'm paid paid stalker.
She's a paid stalker.
For you.
That is true. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Win all the time. I didn't know, but it was love running after me.
Love running after me on the Mark Gunger Show. Mark Gunger, Diane Brierley, Phil Gunger answering your emails. What do you got?
Okay, she says, my husband is the most outgoing person I know. I'm pretty shy. Almost every time we get into an argument, his solution is that I need to be meeting with an older woman. And if I do, all of our problems will go away because she will teach me how to deal with our problems and I'll have someone to give me advice. I think it would be great to have a mentor, but I don't have the confidence to go out looking for an older woman who actually wants to mentor me. It's frustrating because that's how every one of our arguments ends. Should I go looking for a mentor, or should my husband find one for me, or should he not even say that?
I think he's being a jerk. If every argument ends with, you just need to go find an older woman who's smarter, and you're just not smarter as she is. That's highly insulting.
You know what it's saying. It's your fault. You're the problem.
Yes.
This is about you every single time.
Every single time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think your husband's an idiot. I'm sure he's a wonderful idiot. You love him, and we all love him. And maybe he listens to this show. If he doesn't, play this for him. Dude, you're an idiot. Quit saying that. How insulting is that? Now, she says he does it every time. My guess is he doesn't
maybe
do it every time. Because everybody exaggerates.
Like every time
it's like
to her.
That show, what do you call it? House. Everybody lies. Everybody. I used to think, what a terrible premise of a show.
Yes.
Now I started doing this show. Started doing marriage counseling. Turns out everybody lies. Yeah. You know, they don't think they're lying.
Well, even if he's saying it half the time, I'm sure it's annoying to her.
I think it's highly annoying. Yeah, I think you should not. Having said that, I think it brings up a great point. And of course, women hate this. They hate a lot of things I say.
Mm-hmm.
I think, actually, it's James Dobson is the one who I heard. So we'll blame him for this. A lot of people like him more than they like me. But he says, talking about the male culture and the female culture, he was teaching and believed that, and I agree with him, that at the turn of the 1900s, when we turned into the Industrial Revolution, that all this change in culture, which is still relatively new, in terms of human history, we're talking 100, 150 years ago, people were still getting around on horses.
Yeah.
That's how you did stuff. Everybody lived within 10 miles of where they were born their whole lives, except for the hardy ones that crossed the ocean or whatever, and then they found a place and stayed there for the rest of their lives until they died. So he said it used to be in culture for thousands and thousands of years of human history that women had a strong network and that women would grow up with the girls that they knew in school and they played together and they all their life. They got married, they had babies together, they cleaned clothes together. They had this really strong female culture that was healthy for them. Because of the change in culture and how everybody just moves all over the place, scattered, that culture has been decimated. And as a result, the biggest losers of that have been women, because despite all the bravada that women are so great at relationships, the truth is most women, most, not always, there's always exceptions, most women do a very poor job, or it's difficult for them. I shouldn't say like it's their fault, but it's difficult for them to make friends, not meaningful friends. I mean, they get to go, oh, hi, I love your hair, mm-hmm. and they walk around, they really don't care about you anyway. In terms of really connecting, you could take two men who don't know each other at all, drop them in the middle of the desert, and we could be buddies immediately. I meet guys all the time. I was meeting some of these soldiers, you know, and we're at this event that I did, and we're talking and hanging out, you know, and you know, here's a trained special forces soldier, and I'm what technically would be referred to as a pansy. The girly man. But you were hitting it off. I mean, I could imagine if we lived anywhere near each other in 10 days being great buds and hanging and mm-hmm. connecting stuff. Women don't do that so easily. So guys can move all over the place and reconnect. It's like, I don't know if it's a good analogy, but obviously you could throw it anywhere and they'll pull together again. Okay? The female culture doesn't do that. You scatter women all over the place, they tend to stay scattered. And as a result, they don't have that emotional support. So that's why I argue to single guys, my best advice, and it's just advice, you can't do it in a lot of situations. My best advice, marry a girl and keep her near her family. Keep her near her friends. Keep her near her social structure. Taking a girl from Iowa and moving her to L.A. because you have a job in L.A. and that's where you want to live is generally a bad idea because she's going to struggle. And then, of course, she'll stick a straw in his brain and try and get all her emotional needs from him, and it'll kill him. You want to live in L.A.? Marry a girl from L.A. You want to live in Hawaii? Marry a girl from Hawaii. You want to live that? That's my best advice. Again, I know it doesn't always work, and there's a million exceptions to it, but I'm just saying you want to keep her as close as you possibly can for her sake, okay? So as I travel around and meet in church, do I think if there's one thing churches in general could benefit greatly from, it is, in fact, female mentoring. Mm-hmm. How you get them to do it is really the problem. I don't know, because they don't want to do it. They really don't want to do it. The ones who even need the help, it's hard to find the strong, because the strong ones don't want to do it. They don't want to spend time with these
people.
Because
instead of the husband having the straw stuck in his brain and having the life sucked out
of
him,
then the girl does.
They're doing it, to, you know, and then, like, women have their own husbands, their own families, their own lives, and then you have six other little mentor women, and it's like, oh, dear Lord, you just don't have the time the patience or the energy for it.
I get it.
I can take on one project at a time. That's been my rule.
Yeah, I mean,
difficult woman at a time is all I can
do. If there's anything that women could do, you want to really serve Jesus, oh, I'm just praying God gave me, I got to admit, for all you girls, find one,
just one
slightly crazy lady and help her, mm-hmm. mentor her. You can't do a bunch of them, but even that is exhausting. Yeah. But I have found in general they don't want to do it, and I understand they don't want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it. Anyway, as a result, that's the big weak. That is the Achilles heel in Christian circles. And I would argue not just in Christians, but in secular circles. Mm-hmm. You generally have women who are out there, and you can have 100 women all living close to each other, and they're all lonely because they really don't connect that well with each other. Again, my best advice, keep him close. So,
but he's still dead wrong in telling her.
No, he shouldn't be telling her every time.
It's not every time, can't be, and even if it's half the time. Shut up, dude. It's not, you know, take your own lumps about
when you end every argument or any number of arguments with, you just need to get mentored, you're saying it's all her fault and you're being a jerk.
It's like saying you just need to go see a counselor.
Stop it!
Or they could subscribe to the George Costanza School of Mentoring.
Which is what?
Do you remember that episode when he was going to be the mentor? Or was it Kramer? Sorry, I think it was Kramer. He was going to be the mentor for somebody. I don't know. It was an episode of Seinfeld. I just remember it being really funny.
I don't remember. I saw an episode last night I'd never seen before.
That's so funny.
Sure, that was very fun. I thought I'd seen them all. Uh-huh. Anyway, okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with another email right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
What will it be? Judgment or mercy? Why don't you let it be?
Let it be. Mark Gunger Show, answering your emails. What do you got?
Okay, she says, I found out from a family member that my husband had mentioned to her that there was a woman at work that liked to talk a lot.
Well, that's shocking.
Since he had not mentioned this to me, I got a little bit curious and looked up our phone records. I found that he had spent hours on the phone with her and sent several text messages. When I confronted him with this, he said that she had lots of questions about work because she was new, and I told him it was making me uncomfortable and he needed to stop. This is nothing new. A couple of years ago, he had sent some very provocative emails back and forth with a lady in another office. So I asked him if he could make the majority of his conversation text so that I could witness them, and he said yes. When I looked at the text record, apparently on the phone, and then compared them, he had erased over 60 text messages. I also found out that he was looking at prepaid phones and trying to activate old phones that we had. He now says that he has no communication with her, but since he was looking at prepaid phones, I'm having the hardest time trusting him and have no idea how to handle this. I said I felt like I wanted to contact her myself, and he told me that if I did, it would mean divorce. Any thoughts?
I mean, you want to be careful how far you push somebody. But I think you're doing the right thing. You called him on it. Obviously, he has a problem. So trust but verify. Keep checking up on him. You know, and I would discuss with his friends and your church and people that are close to him about this problem. Here's what happens. Couples like this, I bet you nobody in the world knows it.
Yeah, and she said he gets angry if she talks about it to anybody.
There you go. See, the badly behaving person always forbids the other person and does every bit of intimidation they can. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing, people, that a badly behaving spouse needs desperately is for you to stay quiet. And they will do everything, and they'll come up with arguments and guilt trips and everything else. My advice always, 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 if you don't like this advice, you definitely need to listen to a different show. My advice, when you have a badly behaving spouse, you tell people. Now, we're not talking about strange people in the street. Or you're walking to church and shake the usher's hand and says, you know, my husband's been talking to other women. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about people that you know, your friends, your pastor, his family, his mom. Mm-hmm. You know? And say, well, I'm really having a problem with Ralph. What is it? He's texting all these women. Because you know what she'll do? She'll call up Ralph and say, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want that. You actually empower and become an enabler when you stay silent. Do not stay silent. That's my advice.
You said something very smart. I don't know.
Oh, once!
Last show or the show
Phil,
before.
Phil, write this down.
You said that, I don't remember what the context was, but you said that they won't listen to the spouse.
Uh-huh.
That if somebody else speaks to them, that they are more apt to listen to.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yes. Yeah. Because if you try, because everyone's like, well, what can I say? What can I say? You have to understand, in a deep argument, they don't listen to anything you say.
Yeah.
I could give you the best argument in the world to respond to someone, and they will not listen to you. You have to tell other people because he will listen to other people.
Yeah.
She will listen to other people, generally speaking. They will not listen to you.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. So this idea of trying to find an answer, write Mark Gunger, you know, tell my secret pen pal friend, write to, you know, who's that chick in newspapers for?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby. People love that.
Mm-hmm.
They love being, you know, confused in Green Bay. And
mm-hmm. so well, I'm confused too.
They love to be anonymous.
Yeah.
And our premise of our show is anonymous, but that's what feeds. Part of the problem is, well, if we didn't do it, people wouldn't write the show. We wouldn't have a show. But that's not your answer. You staying anonymous is not going to do you jack. Yeah. And you think you're going to find an answer from a dear Abby or dear Marky or dear Diane or dear Phil or whoever the heck it is in your life or dear Focus on the Family, whatever. All you're doing is you're playing this game of staying anonymous, trying to find an answer when nobody will know. Nobody will know. That's how I'm going to find an answer while nobody knows. And you live and think like that, you're not going to get an answer.
Well, there's no.
Does that mean
to
the spouse is going
to
get mad?
On.
They're going to get mad, but they need
will.
To get mad.
Yeah.
Don't let them intimidate you.
Because quite often I will
it's going to be a divorce. I'm going to divorce. Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. I will very often ask the emailers that, you know, write to us, who have you talked to? What did they say? And almost without fail, they haven't talked to anybody. I mean, on rare occasion, some people do. But
yeah,
most of them don't talk to anybody else.
I know. And I don't know this lady. I don't know this guy. I don't know what's going on. But this threat of you talk to this other woman, it means divorce. He is a bully.
Oh, yeah.
He is a bully. If I had a man who was acting inappropriate to my wife, I would tell him to stop it.
Yeah.
And I think she should tell him. Any woman who has another woman, and they always, well, should I confront the other woman? Man, a healthy woman wouldn't think twice about it.
Stay away from my husband.
Stay away from my husband.
Yeah.
And the fact that you even ask him and tell him, I mean, yeah. what are you doing?
I wouldn't ask him. Is it okay if I talk to her? I'm going to talk to
The more I think about it through this filter in my mind, she sounds like a very weak-willed woman. The fact that she even announces to her husband, well, what do you think if I contact the woman? It just means she's a weak-willed woman. Look, I can't tell you to be something that you're not. I'm just saying a strong woman wouldn't tell her husband, I'm going to talk to her. I would just talk to her. I would contact. You got the number. And say, listen, I see this, that you better stop. You better stop. Or I'm going to report to your boss. Because
fraternization policies.
A lot of them will get fired.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't put up with it, but she won't listen to me. So.
And, dude, I mean, for him to be saying, if you contact her, I'll divorce you, that tells me right there all that I kind of need to know about what's really going on.
He's a jerk.
I mean, honestly.
He's a jerk. What's sad is that she has been bullied, and this won't help her listening to me because she can't get out of her bullied stance. I don't know them. If I had a magic elixir for these people, I'd send it to them.
Well, they are Christians, but, you know, she could go to her pastor, and then he could give the answer. Pray about it.
A woman like this, 9 times out of 10, will not do anything. Occasionally, we get women who do, and they usually wind up writing us and saying it saved our marriage. Mm-hmm. We got so many testimonies. But so many of you women who write us like this, you are so weak-willed, so intimidated, so bullied, and you can have a huge list of all these transgressions. They're very good at recording all the thing, but they won't do what is required. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like someone who has all these ills, and they can tell you all this, but they just won't go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to Google online. They want to find a, you know, there's a lot of women like this, actually. They like to Google.
There's a lot of men.
But I'm saying, they want, a lot of men too. They want to find something online. You always find some idiot online and tell you something.
Because men never want to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. If you just drink more green tea, that'll fix your colon problems. I mean, whatever problems they have, everybody's got their little thing. Yeah. And they never want to go to a doctor. These are people who tend to die early or live very miserably. So, my opinion.
Because WebMD has all the... Hey, man, you go to WebMD and you think you're dying from something horrendous.
Have you ever done that, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
If you have a pain or something and you describe this pain and I go out online, I'm dying.
Yeah, yeah.
My legs it's are going to... I have this leg pain. It's a possible sign of cancer in your bones. And what?
Yeah.
So I went to my doctor. So I got to say, oh, he's it's nothing. It's this, that. And I says, well, I went...
According to WebMD.
I said, well, according to WebMD...
I'm dead man walking.
He started laughing. He says, sounds like you're going to die, doesn't it? Because they know. This is all extreme stuff, you know. So anyways... I wish I had a different answer. And this isn't just women. There's guys, too. You got really badly behaving wives, and you're looking for magic where it's just between you and him and get some advice from a third party like me. And I'm telling you, the more you hide, the more you refuse to let anybody else know your problem, the more likely you will be stuck in it forever. We'll be back after this break.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music, The Electric Rev, jimmybratcher.com. All right.
Okay, she says, I have been married for 7 years now. Sorry?
You didn't say what we're doing.
Oh, flag page.
What are we doing? We're doing a flag page.
Sorry, I was waiting for him to say it.
Flagpage.com is a very simple site that you can go to and take this great little test. It's the easiest test you'll ever take because it asks you no questions. It's just three steps. One, two, three. And it gives an amazing analysis of who you are, why you do what you do, and what you really desire, the things that you love the most about life. It's really a picture of you at your best. It's not some people say, oh, I don't want to see it because I don't see what's wrong with me. This isn't about what's wrong with you. It'll show you really you at your best and will show you, quite frankly, what is wrong with you. Sometimes it's because you're not getting what you need. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a great...
And you use it to help solve dilemmas.
All kinds of dilemmas in people. If you were to come to people say, you know, I wish they could, you know, Mark, my husband and I could go and spend time with Mark and do some counseling. The first thing we take the steps. Mm-hmm. I won't meet with you if you don't take the steps. This is what I use to help couples all over. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've been married 7 years, one son. We both had sex before getting married with other people. When we got together, we decided not to have sex before marriage.
That's really irrelevant at this point. They did life right. Mm-hmm. The fact that they weren't doing it with each other as Christians, mm-hmm. they were saying, we can control ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're going to honor God. Mm-hmm. The fact that they made mistakes before is not the end of the mm-hmm. world. I know, you know, the problem with this, you want to warn people to do life right. Mm-hmm. Okay, because there are negative consequences. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, It's not that their life is doomed,
right?
Because they made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, since being married, we have had lots of fights about not having enough sex.
Okay.
But here's the thing. My husband is the one who doesn't seem too keen on having sex.
So usually it's the woman.
Yes.
But there are a lot of these.
And we often hear from...
We hear from these. Yes. I tell people some of the... I would say the majority of complaints I get are from women
yes.
who their husbands
yes.
don't want to have sex.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we only have sex a couple of times a year.
Oh my gosh.
I am an attractive woman, I would say. Don't think he's gay or having an affair. When we fight about it, he says it is all the other things that I do that make him unhorny, she says. I don't like that word, but
I
read it anyway.
A lovely word. Hurry it online.
I am not affectionate enough, he says. I'm too harsh, etc., etc. We both did the flag page test and turned out to be two very hard people, hard-natured.
Uh-huh.
My country is control and peace, and his is perfect and control.
Mm-hmm.
I have told him that it is pointless being married if we are not going to have sex, and he says, I must commit to trying harder to fix our marriage. I am obviously tired of fannying around trying to attract my husband in what I expect would be a fairly normal attraction. Fannying around.
What?
I like
what
that
are you
word.
Doing over there?
I'm fannying
around. Fanning around.
Quit your fannying around. I like that word.
Oh my gosh. So the words people use. Okay, so here's the flag page. And here, we'll see if
Daniel can get
camera.
A shot.
Daniel. Danielson! Danielson! Can you get a shot? Danielson. So here's their flag page. What she's referencing to, there's really 4 points of any flag. Well, let's just do the one so it's not so confusing to people. 4 things. All right, focus. Focus, focus, focus!
Got it?
The first part of this test shows you your temperament, which we talked about in the last show about, you know, how perfect-natured you are, control-natured, or fun-natured you are, peace-natured you are. And we all have varying degrees of it. And this program actually shows you how much you have of each in you. I think it's far superior to most of these tests that usually just give you one answer.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't do that. So her husband is very, you know, control, perfect. He's get it right, but get it done, but get it right. A very strong-willed guy. What she's referring to is this graph here. Under soft and hard. Soft tend to be very warm and fuzzy people. A lot of people are very high on, most people actually
mm-hmm.
in the world tend to be very soft-natured people. They got hard under there. They can go off on you if need to be. But there's a group of people that are very hard-natured right up front. They're just black and white about everything. There's not a whole lot of warm and fuzzy. They speak in bullet points.
I'm sick of fannying around.
Yeah. She doesn't want to fan her because she's got the same thing. They're both hard-natured mm-hmm. people, okay? So that's what she's talking about. Now, you can go back to my beautiful face over here. Now, what that will say is you will both be a pretty strong edge about mm-hmm. you. It's kind of funny because soft people will marry hard people. Soft people will marry soft people. You almost never find hard people who marry hard people,
mm-hmm.
usually because they kill each other during the dating process.
Mm-hmm. Weed that out.
They weed that out right away because they don't like, but yet there are people that are both hard-natured, that will get together. These are the people who tend to have spectacular fights when they fight. I mean, these are the people who argue till the day that they die. You know, mm-hmm. they're 98 taking their last breath. You know what you're talking about? Quiet woman under, you know. I mean, they're just really, but they, you know, they almost never get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
Outstubborn each other.
Yes, neither one of them wants to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's hilarious about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get a hard-natured person married to a hard-natured person, you'll see really entertaining
mm-hmm.
arguments, but they almost never get divorced. Their version of yelling is just normal to them, and it's you get soft-natured people doing what hard-natured couples would do, and they would think it'd be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they probably have soft-natured friends who think, oh my gosh, you're going to get divorced any second when they have no intention of getting divorced. So anyway, that's why you guys are very direct towards each other. A perfect-natured man, that's what he leads with, is a very sensitive man, and he's saying you're not being sensitive enough to his needs, and that's why he's not interested sexually, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know any of that. Look. This is great for understanding motivations. It still doesn't justify bad behavior. As far as I'm concerned, your problem has got nothing to do with any of this. You have a spouse who refuses to have sex with you. She says he's not gay. I don't know that that's true.
Oh,
you don't know that. Do you know how many people marry people and then wind up later find out, in fact, that they were gay because they would never touch him? I'm saying it happens.
Does it happens.
It happens. So
it happens.
You know, I don't know if your husband would like to hear that. I don't know if he listens to this show. I don't know. All I know is you do not put up with this. I have my wife who will only have sex with me once or twice a year. No, that's not cool. There's going to be hell to pay. And I know people don't like this, but the answer to it is you confront it. You say, we fix this or I'm leaving. No divorce. No one said divorce. Why do we stay together? What's the point? If you're like, I'll tell you what, you decide to be a husband to me, you let me know and I'll come home. And, well, you can't do that. Blah, blah. When he comes home the next day, you're just gone. You know, go to your friend's house. That's where you should live. That's where women should have family around them. Go to your mom's house. If nothing else, take his credit card and go to a very nice spa hotel. Get some nice massages, soak in tubs, you know. I promise you, when he comes home, he will freak. They always freak, especially the men. And he will, well, where are you at? She'll try and call, and you'll see your phone buzz. Just let it buzz for a while. Then finally pick it up. He'll say, where are you at? I said, I told you. You're not going to be a husband to me. Why be there? And it will jerk the slack out of him. And then you let, see, again, I'll bet you nobody knows this. I bet you her pastor doesn't know this. I bet you her mom doesn't know this. I bet you his mom doesn't know that, you know. Guys like this, and it's just not the guy, it can be the woman too, where they're acting badly, the key to it, people don't understand, the key to them staying in their bad behavior is your silence. Mm-hmm. You stay silent, it empowers them. If I were you, dear, I would tell his mom, I would tell his brothers, I would tell anybody, say, listen, you know, we're having problems, and Ralph here refuses to have... It's not his name, but I don't think
it's... No. It's not.
Unfortunate.
That would be an unfortunate coincidence. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you just said his name!
It's not Ralph.
Ralph Smith! you know, Ralph here, you know, won't be a husband to me. What do you mean? He has sex with me like twice a year. I promise you, the vast majority of people in your life and his life that hear that will be shocked. Shocked! And now the heat gets on him. In any event, I would move out and, you know, listen, you don't have to file for something. You don't have to, because these things are over in 24 hours, 48 hours, 3 days max. They always cave, every one of them. I don't know that we've ever
Not every one of them.
Well, most of the time. There's some that are really hardcore. But the vast majority, if they don't, then we go into plan B. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you're usually, if it doesn't work, it usually is not going to last anyway. These things are kind of doomed. It's a sign that you're in a bad place. And
was that Larry, you know, the creator of the Flag Page, Larry, says the 20 percenters. There's about 20% of people that no matter what you do, he calls them 20 percenters.
Yeah, but those are
will
the people
not,
I'm, usually end up in divorce. Yeah,
if there's a 20 percenter that will not change, cave, bow to anything.
And in truth, despite what people say, that's really more like the divorce rate of first-time marriages. The reason our divorce rates are so high is because of multiple offenders keep getting back in the pool. It is not a 50% divorce rate. It's closer to 20%, actually a little bit less. Among first-time, and we're talking about everybody, Christians, non-Christians. Mm-hmm. Christians have it even less. People don't have to be worried about getting married because everybody ends in divorce. It's not true. But there's that. So there's people, 20%, they're just hell-bound. And then if you're going to be hell-bound, let's find out now. You know, what are you going to do? Now, there's people who say, no, the answer is just to stay quiet and just pray. You know, the
war room
movie, you know, just sit and just pray. And, you know, nice movie, nice soundtrack, nice drama. Okay, but it's a movie. Okay, there's not really a Darth Vader either. I enjoy that movie as well. I do. I really like Star
Wars. I know you
I'm looking forward to
I
the next
know
Star
you
Wars
are.
Movie. But I don't really think
there's
that there
Vader.
Was a galaxy a long time ago,
far away.
You can't prove that.
I can't prove it. Okay. This idea, I know the movie's good and that they're trying to encourage people to pray, but the Bible is very clear about bad behavior. You confront it. Where the war room is, I think, really doing a disservice to people. And I think it's a bad disservice. I think it's really hurting people. Oh, boy, would people get mad about that. And if the guy who ever did the movie found out he'd have a fit, call me. You know, I would love to debate a guy like that. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Where they do a great disservice is they convince people not to confront and just to pray. Okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. Jesus was very clear. If you have a person who's behaving badly, you confront them. Paul was very clear. When people were acting badly, one guy was acting real bad. He asked, how come you haven't kicked this guy out yet? You confront bad behavior. Your husband is about as close to violating your marriage covenant as you can get. You know? Mm-hmm. You confront it. The answer isn't just to pray. I believe you should pray.
You do both.
But you have to confront. But you can't just pray and not confront. You can't just get in the war room and yell at the devil while the music goes and think it's going to change it, because likely it will not. I know you don't like to hear that a lot of people, but you need to do what Jesus taught. How about we listen to what Jesus said and not be so concerned about the Kendrick Brothers version of life, all right? You need to confront. You need to confront your husband. I wouldn't tolerate it. I would move out. and tell him, if we don't stop, if you're not going to be a husband to me, there's no sense in staying here. And or here's the other option. Keep doing what you're doing and stay miserable for the rest of your life. There's your option. A lot of people choose that. Yeah. We'll take a break. Be back more with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show. So we just had an email from a lady who's complaining that her husband had sex with her maybe 2 times a year. Mm-hmm. And she... what did she say? What was her phrase?
Fannying around. She's sick of fannying around.
Fanning around, trying to get his attention, you know. Hey, big boy! Woo! And it still does nothing. And everybody has their little... These people are looking for... A woman like this is looking for a quick answer to this problem. There's not a quick answer. They generally don't tell anybody because they don't want anybody to know because they want to play the Dear Abby game. I can write, Dear Abby, I have this problem. Why don't you give me the solution? Or you got very spiritual people who think, well, I'm just going to pray it all away. And what they fail to realize is that you have to confront bad behavior. You confront it. How long have they been married?
7 years.
7 years he's been putting up with this? My goodness, I wouldn't put up with 7 weeks. 7 weeks! And my normal healthy spouse doesn't want to have sex. There's going to be hell to pay. Who puts up with this stuff? Seriously, I listen to people like this and I look at them because they meet me and I just stare in their face thinking,
how do you do that?
I think people's tolerance for misery is amazing to me. I don't know how they do this. How do you do this for 7 years and you finally write someone like that? Honestly, the reason you guys have these problems is because you don't do anything.
But in all fairness, there are a lot of Christians who get the... You just have to pray about it. You just have to
so
be patient, and that is just what is inundated by that, and so they think that that is what they have to do.
Yeah, that's the Kendrick's brother. That's the Kendrick brother's version of fixing marital things with this war room movie, which I think is just awful, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
I'm holding back. No, I'm not holding back. It's just awful. You know, you can't take one part of the Bible and put here's an example. Do not give any money to your church, but get in the prayer room and pray. Mm-hmm. For the finances. Now, do you think anybody would buy into that? There's some cycles actually.
Oh, there would.
There'd be a few cycles who would. But most people would go, no, you have to give. What do you mean you have to give? Why don't you just pray? Mm-hmm. Let's have the war room. Lock in there and yell at the devil and have the music. Ooh, you're fighting and this big drama builds. And pray for the finances of your church. No, you need to give. You see someone who's in need. You know, who needs some clothes. And you have clothes to give them, but you don't give it to them. But instead you go to the prayer room. The war room. Do you think that's okay? It's not okay. Some cycles would say that it is, but it's not. You know, I'll tell you what, the Kendrick brothers, here's an advice. How about we get rid of the U.S. military? You know how much money we spend a year on military? I mean, it's stunning. It's massive. Let's stop spending any money on the military. Let's get rid of every soldier, everybody, all the bombs, everything. Let's get rid of it and save money by just hiring people who full-time will go into the war room and pray. Now, they're crazy people who actually wouldn't think that's right. The Kendrick brothers are not that stupid. They would know. That's absurd. Why? Because you can't just ignore parts of the Bible. The Bible says God has given armies and stuff like that to fight evil. Okay? Mm-hmm. What the Bible says about badly behaving people is they need to be confronted, even if it's the man in the marriage. For this movie to show this badly behaving husband and she's not supposed to confront him anymore and just pray in the prayer room is absurd. What's sad is just going to feed more crazy and more people will go for 7 years without having sex or being beaten or whatever else and nobody will do anything.
But you don't know what you don't know when you don't know it. And that's the whole problem is if you've never heard someone like you speak about confrontation and dealing with it and all you've ever heard is...
And why don't we hear more? I don't understand
and
that.
And all of that. You don't know that this
but
is an option.
What are people thinking? What are these pastors thinking? The Bible says if someone's acting badly, you confront them.
But that's not what most of them preach.
I know. What are they thinking?
I don't know. I don't have ESP.
Jesus said, you go to them. You confront them. Paul writes to the Corinthians, have you lost your ever-loving mind? Why is this guy even in your church? You should kick him out. I have a pastor friend. I love him dearly. If he recognizes this, you know I love you, and I won't mention your name or even hint where you're from. But who tells me about a guy in his church who's having affairs with multiple women in his church? I said, dude, what are you doing? Have you kicked him out? No, no, I haven't even talked to him yet. What? I mean, I know these guys, everybody leans to this, let's just forgive. And God. You got somebody who's going and not only violating his covenant, but going and destroying the marriage. He's like he's some guy in his church, some husband, doesn't take a gun and shoot the guy.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, it's, yeah. And we haven't confronted him. You haven't, I don't know what people are thinking. You can war room it all day long. You can't ignore parts of the Bible any more than you can pray and not give. It's not going to help your church. Any more than you can pray and not help somebody when you can help somebody. I mean, all this stuff is patently absurd. And we do. Prayer is a powerful, wonderful thing, and I believe in prayer. But I just did a sermon in my church. You can look on it online. What prayer is not. And this whole, and I preached on this whole idea. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not an excuse to hide and not do the right thing. And that's what a lot of people think. Well, just pray about it. I had a guy who, you know, left his church in Texas, wants to come up here to live to have sex, live with a woman who's married to another man and have sex with this lady. And he knew better. And he said, want me to pray? What did I pray for you? I'm really struggling with it. So I'm getting all over his case. You got to stop. And I said, what did your Christian friends say to you? Did you tell them what you were going to do? Yeah. You told your Christian friends in Texas, not to slam Texas. Texas are great people. But whoever this church was. But in truth of the matter, this is a prevalent problem in Christianity. He tells his good friends in Texas, this wonderful Christian church, that I'm going to move to Green Bay and shack up with this married woman. He told them that. I said, what did your friends say? Well, just pray about it. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Imagine somebody. That's ridiculous.
So this whole thing of people saying pray about everything instead of doing the right thing, that is not what prayer is for. Prayer is not an excuse to disobey God and not to obey the scriptures or to ignore the teachings of Jesus. You got bad behavior in the church, in your home, in society, against nations. You confront evil. You confront bad behaving people. It just always has been and always will be. You just praying about it is not going to make up the difference and fix it. Anyway, all right, enough of this. Raises my blood pressure.
I know.
It's so maddening.
I know.
The number of times we talk to people.
I know.
And their excuse for everything. Their excuse for not doing what the Bible teaches. Well, I pray about it. And those prayers have got to come out their mouth and just fall on the ground. Mm-hmm. God's not going to listen to that nonsense. Honestly, and people teach, I don't understand it. All right, take a break. We'll be back with our final segment right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
The lovely romantic music of Michael O'Brien, bringing us to our final segment on dating. What have you got?
Okay, this is a follow-up question from the little 14-year-old girl that we addressed on the previous show. She also had another question at the end of her email. She wants to know what your opinion is on kissing before the big day, before the wedding. They say it's unholy, but I've never thought so. She wants to know what your opinion is on that.
Do I have a problem with people kissing? I do not have a problem. Do not have a problem with people kissing. The problem isn't the kiss.
It's what it leads to.
It's what it leads to. And that's why someone will give you grief about it. To call it unholy, see, these are the...
The kiss isn't the unholy part. It's the...
No. But if you use phrases like that to your children, then they get married, and now they can never kiss their spouse. And they can never have sex, because you've told them all their life that it's bad and it's evil. Don't do that to your kids. Don't tell them that sex and kissing is evil. It's not evil or unholy. It's a wonderful thing. Just tell them not to do it. Wait till you're married. Now, except for the kissing. I don't mind if people kiss, for heaven's sakes.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Because if you're going to sit and make out in a room by yourself for 3 hours and they say, well, we're just kissing. Yeah, that's a really bad idea.
Agreed. But do I think there's couples should never kiss?
No.
Or they should only kiss on their wedding days?
No.
I know people who do that. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I think it's lovely. It's laudatory. Good Lord. That's the least of my problem. I'm trying to get people quit fornicating, lying, cheating, stealing. You know, kissing someone, I just don't think is problematic.
Again, depends on what kind of kissing we're talking about and
the context. No, I get it.
Because they all think that we can sit and make out and do this and we'll be able to put the brakes on. No, generally... you have a hard time.
I know
doing
at some
that.
Point you got to have some sense, though. I mean, you really want to keep people from fornicating? They should never see each other and never meet each other, and just keep them in bunkers all their lives until they're ready to marry. Well, that's ridiculous. We got to meet each other. Meeting will lead to fornicating. Well, it does.
Well,
if you never met somebody, you never fornicate with them.
Back in the old days, they never had the chance to interact and intermingle and do all of that.
That's certainly true.
They did not. So there was not the fornication problem.
Yeah, I know, but I think we can behave ourselves in a reasonable manner without going to bunkers. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.